You know, I think about you as a player, and you played in Colorado as a Rocky during the Don Cherry Rocky years. He leaves Boston to go there. When you're a player, you're looking out for your own business, but are you thinking, this is interesting? And Don lasted only, like, were you aware of all the tension that Don later revealed with the organization and the problems with the goalies and all that stuff while you were a player playing for Don?
Well, I think Don was the fourth coach in my, I'd been there 2 years at that time, and he was the fourth coach. So it was a pretty unstable situation. And, I think it was difficult for everybody. Being a young player, you're just trying to survive and find your way. And I've been hurt quite badly my first year. So, it was a very challenging time. And it's unfortunate because we had really good players on that team and just couldn't seem to have any stability or consistency. And I think it hurt a lot of us.
I'm sure people feel this way about Winnipeg now, not just because they're Canadian about it, but I felt this way. It looked terrible for Quebec City to lose their team and go to Denver, but you must have seen that in the mid-90s and going, yeah, that's what it could have been like. That team, got a winner right away. They make the Patrick Waugh trade. You got a bunch of Hall of Famers on that team with Sakic and Forsberg and the like. It was, honestly, with a snap of a finger, and I'd go there for playoff games, lucky enough to cover that. Like, that was just an unbelievable hockey market when the Avalanche arrived. You probably didn't get to see as much of that when you played in Denver.
No, there was a long history with Denver University, though, and hockey was then a very popular sport. We just didn't play well enough, and we didn't have, we just didn't have any consistency in any part of the organization. So it made life challenging, and that team had moved from Kansas City a few years before I had arrived, and just didn't seem to be able to find a proper foothold or create an opportunity like the one that was created later. So it's unfortunate, but Colorado and Denver in particular are very good hockey markets.
Mike, I saw a really interesting anecdote that you had told before about how analytics really helped you guys get the most out of Ryan Kesler. The 2010-2011 year, I believe, was the reference. He scored 40 goals, and he hadn't done that before. And one of the things that we do know is that there tends to be a trend where younger front office staff are really invested in analytics. Older front office staff tend to be a little bit more opposed to it. They're more old school. But as someone who embraced it, how did you go about convincing people who were a little bit tentative to get into analytics to at least give it a shot?
Well, I think the key for me was this combination of experience and analytics. So if you bring in some young analytics people in the organization, they don't have the experience of, perhaps 20, 30, or 40 years of National Hockey League experience. So you need to blend the two in a way that allows everyone to be compatible and provide their best input. And that we were lucky. And in Vancouver, we had really good people that I worked with who didn't feel this sort of resistance to change and resistance to new ideas. And in combination, when you began to be able to deploy their experience with young people that were thinking a little bit differently and could drill down on the data and find out information for you and create some predictive algorithms that would allow you to make better decision-making, it seemed to work really well, and we got great results from it.
Mike Gillis, our guest, former Canucks president, general manager. I don't know how you feel. I don't know where this lands for you, but I cannot believe, I'm a big Canucks fan from being a kid, and Tiger Williams, Richard Brodeur, that team. And I cannot believe the last playoff round the team has won was the Western Conference Finals in 2011. You were there a few years, obviously, after the Cup Final in 11. I'm not trying to fill your bucket here. I think if the Kings don't beat you in the first round in 2012, and you were missing one of the Sedins then, it's very likely you guys win the cup that season. That was an unbelievable run that LA went on as a lower seed. If I told you, though, at the end of 11, that the franchise wasn't going to win another playoff round for 8 seasons, you wouldn't have believed that in a million years, would you have?
No, we had a plan. Yeah, we had a a plan that I thought was well thought out to do certain things right away after the 13 season, and didn't turn out that way. But I thought we'd be back competing for the Cup within 3 to 4 years if we managed to do things correctly. And yeah, but things change and life goes on, and you just have to keep moving ahead.
How did you feel with Roberto's retirement? Handled it gracefully, classily as well. And obviously, you as an executive, that's a difficult situation. You got a great prospect goalie. I wouldn't even call him a prospect in Corey Schneider. He could have gone somewhere as your backup, and I felt like started for 12, 14 other teams and been way better than their starter. It was a difficult situation for all, wasn't it, at the time with Roberto and the contract?
The treatment of those contracts changed well after we had done it. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that was an unfortunate thing. But oddly enough, some of the people that pushed the hardest for recapture were the ones on our phone trying to get Roberto as quickly as the lockout ended. So, it's always good to have great players, and we were very fortunate to have both Corey and Roberto at the same time. They got along great together. I think Roberto was a huge factor in Corey's development. So, you know, you have to take those situations as they come. And, in a market like Vancouver, in any Canadian market, when you have the opportunity for controversy, it seems to take on a life of its own. And it most certainly did with those two. And, when we decided that we were going to trade Corey, we had a player in mind that we really wanted. And, it's difficult to trade top-level goaltenders. And if you look through history, particularly in the last 20 years, in a salary cap era, it's extraordinarily difficult to get value in kind in return for good goalies and great goalies. And so we were determined to get a certain player who filled a certain profile so that we can move forward. And and we're lucky to get Horvat in a trade for Corey. And I think in hindsight, it's probably worked out pretty well for the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah, a lot of really young, exciting players on this current Canucks team. But one of the major themes across the NHL to this point has been the kind of stalemate in signing restricted free agents. And that goes across the board. That's not just a Mitch Marner-centric theme. What do you think, in your opinion, is the holdup here? And I thought Sebastian Aho was going to kind of move the scale, just because when one thing gets done, you're looking for the first domino to fall. But what's your take on the way things are playing out so far this summer?
Well, I think it's a difficult situation for everybody. The player is clearly in this category, and the ones that are left unsigned are mostly up-and-coming young superstar players who are looking for a variety of things. Some of them may be looking for security. Others are looking for top-of-the-market value or some combination thereof. And teams are trying to also plan in a cap era where you have to be careful with every dollar you spend. And if you're not careful with every dollar you spend, it's going to come back and haunt you at some point in the future. So, you can see, I don't think it's a situation where there's animosity. I think they're just trying to figure it out in the best atmosphere and the best landscape for everybody.
Mike Gillis, our guest, kind enough to spend some time with us this morning, speaking at the Hockey Coaches Conference. One more on former players, Hall of Famers, and it's the Sedins. Their best years were with you there, with Alain Vigneault coaching them. You know what they mean to Vancouver. Do you think they stay in the game? We haven't been surprised when Daniel Alfredson's and Steve Yzerman's and Ron Francis's stay in the game, especially in a city that means so much to them and vice versa. Can they get more involved, do you think, as time goes on in the fabric of the Canucks or Vancouver hockey?
Well, hopefully they will, because they're great. They're absolutely great people. And, you can't have enough great people in any organization. They are true professionals. They're leaders. They, fought through tremendous adversity to get to the level they ultimately got to. So I think they're an asset, and I think they would have a tremendous amount to offer.